Blog Talk Radio.
To another fun-filled edition of Sports Urban Legends, a special holiday season edition of Sports Urban Legend. I'm your host, William Rameau, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthews.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, you. We're going to talk... not much, you. You know, a holiday season. Want to wish our listeners happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa too. Yeah, that's the one that you're skipping.
If all you Africans out there,
so happy holidays to everybody.
To our Hanukkah. Listeners out there.
Happy Hanukkah, right?
Yeah.
I thought I mentioned that.
So oh, okay.
Want to wish all our callers a happy holiday, and we're gonna open up with a little gridiron, a little football, a Jets summary with the Jets loss, a little bit of a Giants preview, Cowboys and Saints recap from yesterday's game, which was a shot to the Giants playoff run. We're also going to talk a little Knicks and the Nate Robinson demanding a trade also. We're going to talk, of course, a little hot stove with some rumors that Jason Bay and Mets are close to a deal. We'll talk about it also, and about the Grandison trade and what does that mean to Johnny Damon with the Yankees. And we'll open the phone calls to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. But before I get to that, it's also David Wright's happy birthday, 27th birthday. So I want to wish him a happy birthday.
Wow, he's that old?
Yeah, today's his birthday.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
And also,
plays on another team.
Oh, what was that?
I said happy birthday, New York Mets.
Yeah, the French, the cornerstone of the Mets.
Yeah.
The three-time All-Star third baseman. And unfortunately, you know, each day it's somebody, you know, it's someone's birthday and it's also somebody's death. So unfortunately, it's been you reported to me earlier that Brittany Murphy passed away earlier today.
Yeah, sad and unfortunate.
That's tragic. So, you know, I wish her family, you know, I offer my condolences to her family.
Yeah.
It's a trying time.
Yeah, man. That's why, you know, you need to have fun while you're still on this earth and cherish life. I mean, you never know when you could, when your life will end, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Tomorrow's not promised to anyone.
Yeah.
Fortunate.
That's why you need to sin as much as possible while you're still here.
Or the exact opposite. Especially in this holiday season, you know. Gotta, you know, be focused on what's more important, you know. The gifts or, you know, what happens to you in the future.
Yeah.
Because in an instant, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, you know. You know, we're not eternal beings, so we're not on this earth for very long.
I remember when Brittany Murphy and Ashton Kutcher, when they were dating, they went to a few Knick games. I remember.
Yeah, a bunch of fan base come to Knick games, you know.
Yeah, but I became more of a fan of her when she came to the Knick game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I don't know if she was a Knick fan or not, but you know, at least she came to the game. To watch the Knicks, you know.
Yeah, after you sent me the text message, you know, I was surprised. I booked him, you know, the news to my little sister, who's happens to be a huge Cougars fan.
Yeah.
And you know, she was of course shocked as well.
Yeah, and Brittany Murphy, you know, you remember her from Drexler's Class and Almost Home, you know, those sitcoms in the 90s.
Right.
Yeah, she was a good-looking babe.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was only 32 years old, man. Young.
It's a shame, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, best of luck to her family in this trying time.
Yeah.
And it kind of puts, you know, bad losses like the Jets and, you know, people, kind of like what Glavin was saying when he, that last game of the 07 season, how he was, you know, he was disappointed, not devastated.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Kind of puts it in perspective. As horrible as you know, losses are in sports, you know, losing somebody, you know, a life loss is, you know, of course, you know, more important.
Yeah, definitely.
And speaking of losses, Jets, whatchamacallit, season is pretty much over.
Far, it looks like it.
They fell 10-7 to the Falcons earlier today. Mark Sanchez, he went 18 for 32 in his return game after missing last week's game because of the knee injury. He went for 226 yards, threw that one interception, one touchdown to Braylon Edwards for 65 yards. He threw three interceptions in the game, including the costly interception, which pretty much sealed the Jets' fate. Matt Ryan, he led the Falcons to, a 10-7 lead. He went 16 for 34 for 152 yards, and, of course, the one touchdown with less than 3 minutes in the game, courtesy of Tony Gonzalez's 6-yard touchdown.
Right.
So, unfortunately, the Jets' postseason hopes is pretty much
shot
dead right about now. So
yeah, man. I mean, they had a chance today. They were leading 7-3 throughout the game. Then they let Atlanta take the lead. And then, you know, they had a chance to come back at the end, but Sanchez threw that interception in the end. And the game was over by that point. So now they're 7-7, and they're behind the Baltimore Ravens right now in the wild card for that last wild card spot.
Yeah, it pretty looks like it's all she wrote for the Jets.
Yeah. Well, they're still not eliminated yet, but
well, yeah, of course.
You know, but it looks like right now that, you know, they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they need a lot of help. They need to.
Yeah.
They definitely need to win these next two games and definitely
have a chance.
Need a lot of help. They need a lot of help.
Yeah.
And Giants is in a similar fate too. They play later tonight. The Cowboys ended the Saints' 13 game winning streak yesterday at night.
Yeah, damn Cowboys, man! I hate those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, they won, so now they're they're 9-5. So basically, the Giants have to win tomorrow night. They play on Monday Night Football on ESPN. They have to win tomorrow night's game against the Redskins in order to stay alive. Because if they lose that game tomorrow, then I'd say they're pretty much done, although they're not going to be officially eliminated because, you know, Cowboys could still lose two of their last games, so we still have to see.
Yeah. It looks like both football teams should have Staying Alive as their theme song.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Cause, you know, both of them they have to win their remaining games.
Yep.
They can't lose. Can't lose at all. You lose, you're out.
Yep.
Last chance for them.
Yep. So, hopefully, Jets and Giants can... Well, Jets can win their next two, get a lot of help, and, of course, Giants win tomorrow and win the next two games the following weeks.
The Giants as always win tomorrow. There's going to be a fight.
They better have a fight tomorrow because
they
got to fight for their postseason lives here.
Because, I want to watch Monday Night Raw, you know?
Right. Johnny Damon's going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's going to be the guest host.
I'm going to watch the Giants, but I really want to watch Monday Night Raw. So the Giants better win that game.
You've heard any news on the Knicks on Nate Robinson agent at saying that that Nate is demanding a trade out of the Knicks because for the past 8 games he's been sitting on the bench due to, you know, D'Antoni's decision.
Man, I disagree with this. They should just play Nate Robinson, man.
I agree.
I mean, he hasn't played in 8 games.
Yep. It's literally gotten out of hand here. I mean, when they were winning, you know, like 4 in a row, it was like, okay, you know, we didn't think it would be this long. I mean, to be honest with you, they should have played him, they should have played the guy at least a couple of minutes, you know. He could help. He could score. You know, he's one of the pure, you know, scoring threats we have on the team, you know.
I mean, I'm sure he's learned his lesson. I mean, he hasn't played in 8 games.
Yeah, man, that's when he seriously needs to stop this because last year he did this with Marbury, you know, nobody really questioned him on that, even though that was, you know, he did start it with, you know, he played the guy in preseason and then afterwards, you know, he benched Marbury, you know. So he kind of, this is 2 years in a row that he's doing this with temperamental point guards, you know, if you want to call them point guards because Those guys are mostly are more like shooting guards and point guard bodies. So
yeah,
and this
Knicks, they've been playing well. You know, the Knicks have won what, 7 of the last 10 games or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be about accurate.
I mean, Nick will give them a boost.
He'll yeah, he would
win even more.
Yeah, and this is not gonna make us look good with the free agent signings. I mean, I'd wonder what you know, LeBron or Dwayne Wade or Bosh is thinking that you know, once stuff gets a little out of hand, you're gonna just bench, you know, guys. You know, that's causing you know, division in the team, and the team is playing well.
Man, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it.
But
now
we
got
much.
Jonathan Bender, right?
Yeah.
He had a decent game the other night.
Yeah, he's a 7-footer. He still got the, you know, the touch.
Yeah.
Shooting touch. He's played well as a Nick thus far.
Yeah. But we need Nate. Nate is the man. That's who the fans want to see on the court.
Yeah, and another thing, even if they wanted to trade Nate, you're not going to get anything for him anyway because, you know, for one thing, he has no trade value. Well, he has very little trade value because they haven't played him the last 8 games. I mean, sure, all the other 29 teams know, you know, what type of play to get in with him, you know, an exciting player who could shoot, but he's not very fundamentally sound. But trading him right now without building up his trade value, D'Antoni pretty much put Donnie Walsh in a bad position.
Yeah, that's a. Oh man, I just played a guy, man. You have nothing to lose. I mean,
yep.
The Knicks aren't going to win the championship this year. Okay, let's be realistic. They're
yeah,
not winning
I
the
mean,
title.
Yep.
So just play the guy.
I know.
And this will most likely be his last year with the team anyway, so.
Yeah. Should have played a guy. At least to build up his trade value. And then you could package him with, let's say, Jared Jeffrey, who's been playing, he's been a defensive stopper on the team, you know.
Yeah, shockingly.
I know. And Curry, I mean, if he ever, I mean, you know, have a pulse out there on the court.
Yeah.
Maybe if someone could, you know, be stupid enough to trade for him, like Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, you're right.
True. I wish we could trade him. We could trade him to Isaiah right now on that that college basketball team.
Yeah, but I don't see that happen. I don't think the college teams even want him.
Shoot, I don't think a junior varsity team would want him.
Little league team doesn't want him. Nobody wants him.
He definitely should have stayed in. He definitely should have went to college and developed his fundamental games instead of just jumping out of high school. You know.
Yeah.
Only few players can do that. Like LeBron James would come to mind.
But you remember when we first got this guy? I mean, he was known for getting to the basket. You know, he shot a high percentage.
Yeah.
You know, because he always stayed near the basket and made layups. And, you know,
yeah.
Post it up, you know.
He still has the post game, but he can never stay healthy. You know, he could score inside. He's a big dude. You know, he has the, if he actually played with heart and emotion out there, he'd be able to rebound balls. He didn't, like his former head coach, Scott Skiles, said. A reporter asked him, what do you think Eddie Curry would need to do to be a better rebounder? He just said one word, jump.
Yeah,
all this
yeah.
guy has to do is jump.
Yeah, exactly.
Play with passion. The guy is a near 7-footer. He doesn't have to, you know, really do anything out there.
Yeah.
And then this guy, you know, he averaged a game like, shoot, four or five rebounds a game. And this guy is almost 7 foot. Come on.
He doesn't have any heart. That's it, man. He doesn't have the passion for the game.
He doesn't. He only cares about scoring.
Yeah, and money.
Well, yeah, he definitely got a lot of debt.
Yep.
But I guarantee you, this last huge contract, the way how he's been playing.
Seriously, I wish we could get rid of him.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think next year we'll be able to get rid of him because he'll be on his contract year. So.
Yeah.
People will be able to take that salary, and they'll have huge salary cap relief.
Right.
Another thing, another rumor is that Knicks is interested in Tracy McGrady. He's in his contract year, but here's the good thing. Sure, the guy's washed up, but Knicks are insisting that, as of right now, it looks like they're insisting that the Rockets would have to take back Jared Jeffries' contract or Curry's contract in order for this deal to get done.
Okay, you need to get rid of Curry, first of all.
Yeah, but
I'd rather keep Jeffries in front of Curry. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, of course. I agree with you too, 100%. But Curry has no trade value because of his contract and his lack of work ethic. So Jared Jeffries, who leads the league in drawing fouls, even though that's an unofficial stat in the NBA thus far.
Right.
The guy Jeffries would be the guy who would have more value because he's actually playing with passion out there on the court.
Yeah, but I don't know about Tracy McGrady. I mean, he gets injured way too much, man.
Yeah, but the reason why we're doing that is, the main reason why we're doing that is not because, this guy is a very talented player. You know, he's a former All-Star when healthy. The guy, he's a legitimate scorer in the game when he's healthy. But here's the thing. This is the reason why we're going after him. We're trying to acquire him. Is because after this year, he's a free agent.
Oh,
making
okay.
Like he has the most money. I think he's making the most money in the NBA right now. He's making like what, 22, 23 million?
Yeah.
This year. So once the NBA season 2010 is over. We can just let him go, and we'll have enough cap room to sign LeBron James and another max player.
Oh wow! You're right about that.
So that's why I would. That's why I would definitely do the trade. You do the trade. If we might catch lightning in a bottle with Tracy McGrady if he stays healthy for 1 year.
Yeah, you got to
get rid of
there.
Curry or Jeffries, and then when the season's over, we'll have money to sign LeBron James if he decides to come here. And another max player, whether it's, Dwayne Wade, which most likely he wouldn't come here, or Chris Bosh.
I'm sold, man. Let's trade him now. Let's get him. Let's trade Curry and Jeffries now from McGrady.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be both. Ideally, perfectly, that'd be perfect if we could get rid of both, but we'd have to get rid of one of them, and the person who would most likely get traded would be Jared Jeffries because
right.
His contract is less. Jared Jeffries is making $6 million. Curry, I think right now he's in 13.
Jeffries, he's been playing good lately. It's Curry I want to get rid of.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you ask any Knicks fan, which one would they rather get rid of this year? Right now, they would, of course, say Jared Jeffries because he's actually playing with passion, even though he's not the best fundamentally sound player. He's not, he's not the best shooter.
Yeah.
He's not the best passer. But what he is, he's a 6'10 dude who's actually finally playing great defense, the defense that Isaiah Thomas was advertising when he first signed this guy to this albatross of a contract.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But if one of those guys are going to get traded, it's most likely going to be Jared Jeffries instead of Curry, unfortunately.
Ooh. I know. Curry gone.
Yeah, I know, but after next year, he'll be gone anyway.
Because when I see Curry, I want to punch him in his stomach, man. Gets me mad.
You know what you should do? You should play one on one against him and drive down the lane. He's not gonna do anything.
Well, that's true. He can't rebound. He can't play defense. So, you know, he can do anything I want.
But if but if someone passes him the ball and you're down in the paint, you need to get out of his way anyway. You don't want to draw that offensive foul. Let's just say there won't be any more IMAC. Which comes on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Check your local listings.
At 11 or 10.
10 or 11, depending on what day it is.
Yeah, check your local listings.
A terrific show.
Yeah, man, I'm watching the Bengal Charger game on CBS. And, you know, the Bengals were playing good, you know, but now they're down by 11. The Chargers are winning 24-13 in the third quarter. And, you know, the Bengals just had their player, Chris Henry. He died. Yeah.
Right. Yes. My condolences go out to his, to the Henry family for losing his son in that car accident.
Yeah, supposedly, you know, he fell out of or jumped out of a pickup truck.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate, you know. Yeah, a lot of deaths, man.
Yeah. Very, hard, you know, terrible time, this holiday season, I should say. You know.
Yeah.
Losing people like this.
You know what would make us cheer up from these tragic deaths and the Knicks sucking?
What would that be, my friend?
A Christmas song.
Okay. We could do that.
You know, let's play a good Christmas song. What about Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time?
That sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, I love that song.
Christmas song.
Yeah.
Without further ado, here's Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas. We'll be right back.
The moon is right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Feelings here that only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song. Simply have. sound is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight.
Song by Paul McCartney, simply having a wonderful Christmas time. You were right. Boosted my holiday season cheerfulness.
Yeah. It gets you happy, man. That's a good song to play on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
You're opening up the presents, you know.
Yeah, I always heard that song, back in the days, but I never knew it was him.
Yeah.
Until a couple of months ago when I saw it on Sirius, on DirecTV.
Oh, right, on the music channels, yeah.
Yeah.
Love that song.
Yeah, me too. Well, I guess another thing that will cheer Mets fans up is if the rumor that Mets and Jason Bay will finally come to fruition, and they sign him to hopefully a 4-year and not a 5-year deal, but
yeah.
Hopefully that deal get done, or Matt Holliday, whichever one.
Yeah, man. This past week, man, was a nightmare for the Mets.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, Lackey signed with Boston. Holiday looks like he just signed with the Cardinals. And Bay, he was playing with the Mets for a while there.
He hasn't signed on the dotted line yet, so.
Yeah.
Until we get confirmation, he's still a free agent. If you remember last year when everybody was saying, oh, Mets are close to signing Derek Lowe, and, you were telling me, they're close, and I was like, hey, he's still a free agent. He hasn't signed yet.
Yeah.
But I'll admit, I was getting, optimistic, thinking of, that sinker baller, on my team, right behind Johan, pitcher. That would have been great. But unfortunately, when the Braves lost John Smoltz, they let him go to Boston Red Sox, which, of course, we know how that – how horribly that turned out with
yeah.
the Red Sox.
Yeah.
But in that case, they made the Brave fans, that all two of them.
Yeah.
And Chipper Jones. Even Chipper Jones was criticizing the team for letting Smoltz get away. A guy who's been on the team ever since he was traded in that deal in, I think, 1987 from Tigers.
Yeah.
Well, I think, what was it, Doyle Alexander, I think the guy was called. That guy would be an all-star for the Tigers. And, of course, we know the rest is history with Smoltz, a perennial all-star with the Braves.
Mm.
Big game pitcher, one of the top three starters, in wins in postseason history.
Mm.
And, they let him go. They let him go like that, And
yeah,
then afterwards,
that was dumb.
Yeah. They panicked because of the huge, criticism they were getting for letting a legend like John Smoltz, who even though he's on his last legs, he's a legend in Atlanta. Yeah, he pitched better once he went to Cardinals, once he went back to the National League with the Cardinals, he pitched better.
Yeah.
And he's still a free agent. So that's why they offered Derek Lowe the 4-year deal, which pretty much blew Mets' deal out of the water, because Mets wasn't willing to
yep.
to give him a 4-year deal at his age.
Yeah, man, but the big deal that happened this week was the Roy Halladay.
Yep. Roy Halladay getting acquired from Toronto, from Toronto to Philadelphia Phillies,
mm-hmm.
and then they traded away Cliff Lee, who emerged as their ace after they acquired him from the Indians at the training deadline, just a couple of days before the training deadline.
Yeah,
and then they send Phillies and the Philadelphia and the whatchamacallit, the Mariners, they send their prospects to Toronto, I believe.
Yeah.
So yeah, they you know. But here's what I think about the trade. They definitely improved their pitching by getting arguably the best starter, if not the second best starter in the game, in Roy Halladay. But unfortunately for the Phillies, they took away their only true ace after Hamels went. I mean, Hamels was their ace before they got Lee. And Lee, he pitched as great as an ace could be.
You can't ask for a better. I mean, you can't ask for a better performance that he had in the postseason against the Yankees and throughout the whole postseason, you know.
Yeah.
He was spectacular.
Yeah, they're definitely going to miss Derek, Cliff Lee, because this guy, he pitched with great passion, man. It's like every time he went out there, they had like a complete game.
Yeah.
That guy was gutsy, man.
They should have found a way to keep him and get Halladay.
Yeah, but they felt that the they got the best pitcher or the second best pitcher, you know, either him or Johan is the best pitcher in the game. But they're gonna miss Cliff Lee because Cliff Lee, you know, proved that he could pitch in the big spot.
Oh yeah.
Roy Halladay, he hasn't, as of yet, he hasn't pitched in a big game. He hasn't pitched in a postseason game yet. But I'm sure he should do fine. But the only way, as a Mets fan, when I heard that they got Halladay, I was PO'd, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But once I found out that Lee was in the trade, it got better as a Mets fan, because instead of having three potential aces on their staff, they still have two. So it's like it's addition by subtraction.
And so Hamels had a horrible last season. I mean,
right.
Should you even consider him as an ace anymore?
Well, I mean, he took a step back after last year, after he said in the 08, rather 09, before the season started, how Mets were choke artists.
Yeah.
Ever since then, he only beat the Mets one time.
Yep.
And Mets, even when Mets had the all those injuries, the B team or C team or F team, whatever you want to call the squad they put out there, the spring training squad they put out there, they whooped Hamels behind for like 7 or 8 runs on him.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yankees did too. I mean, Yankees whooped his ass in the World Series, and he wanted to go home after that.
No, but everybody expects Yankees. You know, Yankees have that offense, and Yankees had a healthy. They play with a healthy deck.
Yeah, but when you beat a pitcher so bad and he wants to go home, I mean, that's bad.
well, Mets spring training team, after a lineup that didn't have. I don't even think David Wright was there at that time.
Uh-huh.
They whooped him. They scored like 7 runs on him.
Yeah.
Reyes was in there. Beltran, I think he was already out at that time. Delgado, he was probably on vacation or whatever. Shoot, they whooped it. They had bench players for the bench players play on the team, and they whooped Hamill's butt so badly.
Yeah, that's bad.
But yeah, he really took a Hamill's. He really took a shot to his mental psyche. You know, saying that you know he wants to go home. He's like, he's in the World Series.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all. I mean, come on, you're a professional player, man. You gotta be a man.
You know, it sounded like he was like since he won his ring in 08, you know, it looks like he doesn't have that hunger. You know, he feel like he made it already. He doesn't have anything to prove anymore.
And that commercial, you know, that I always see that dance commercial him on the mound.
Yeah, with that Philly fan, where I need pants on. He's, you know, hey Cole, you know, throw that bitch outside, you know, throw some in the dirt, and then he's like, who are you? And then afterwards, you know, the typical idiotic Philly fans, the kids are like, I mean, oh, dad. Only a Philly fan didn't even put on pants on. Talking to Cole Hamill like he knows him, like he's just a pitching coach or something. Like if he's Rick Doobie or something. Come on.
But you know, that's how bad it is when you have the fans giving Cole.
Yeah, that's how bad it was. It must have been I think it was facing the Dodgers in that game, but the way how that guy was talking to him, it was like he was talking to him during the Mets game.
Oh man.
Someone should have like a song and just play it on the loop. Who are you? Who are you?
Oh yeah. You should create that.
I think a light bulb just flashed in my head.
Yeah, I'll work on that as soon as possible. But man, yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe he'll come back next year. He'll be better. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, he did have a great 2008 season when he in the postseason when he won 14-1 in the postseason. He definitely willed them to win. So, I mean, the guy still has the talent, but he definitely, maybe him going back home, you know, with his wife and his new baby, you know, his newborn kid, you know, that'll you know, reinvigorate his love for the game. Who knows?
Yeah.
He must have hit a mental wall or something.
I don't know what happened to this guy this past year.
Yeah. And back to the Mets. I don't know if you heard that Molina, he's demanding a 3-year deal for $20 million, and this guy is like 35 years old. I don't know what this guy's smoking.
I don't know. I don't know what he's drinking either. Yeah, this guy is old, but I mean, then again, you know, he could still hit. He's a good defensive player. You know?
Yeah, he's a good hitter. I mean, he hit a career high 20 home runs.
Yeah.
You know, he's good behind the plate. He's not as great defensively as he was when he was with the Angels, but
right.
You know, he was a little younger back then also.
Right.
So yeah, I guess you could put that into account as well. But I mean, 2 years, I mean, that's kind of pushing it for a guy his age. He's going to be like, what, 37 when he if it was at a 2-year deal, but, you know, I have to give Mets kudos on this one. They said, as of right now, they're saying, you know, 2 years, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what team he thinks is going to give him that money. Because, you know, you keep hearing about, you know, there's a mystery team with Bay that's going to offer him the 5-year deal, which some people are saying it might be Giants or some other team.
Mm-hmm.
And then with him, with Molina, you're talking about a mystery team, and it's still a mystery to all the insiders.
How many catchers do the Mets have, by the way?
Wow. That's a good question. They had they first had Schneider, who hit, dude, he mercifully hit a little over 200.
Yeah.
Because he hit 5 home runs in September, which boosted up his batting average. Most of the year, he was hitting like 188 or so.
Right.
Dude. With his batting average, he couldn't even ride a bus there. Shoot. But anyway,
so Snyder would be like the backup catcher if you guys sign Molina?
No. Snyder, he signed as a backup catcher with the Phillies.
Oh, so he's no longer with you guys.
Yeah, we weren't going to re-sign him anyway. And pretty much, guess what he said? After he signed with them, he said that he was, you know, him and his family grew up Philly fans. You know, they grew up in the Philadelphia area, you know.
Oh.
He was saying that pretty much, you know, he's going to go to a team that's been to the World Series for the past 2 years, and he's leaving a team that, you know, that was trying to.
Oh.
You know, he took a little shots here and there, but you know how it is.
Yeah.
And then Billy Wagner, you know, after being traded to the Red Sox, he signed with the Braves. And then he revealed that he was a lifelong Braves fan.
It's funny how, like, when they go to another team, they admit that they've been fans of the team, and they always wanted to go there, you know.
Oh, but here's another one. I'm gonna flip the script on you right here. Chris Coase, who was a catcher with the Phillies, a backup catcher with the Phillies, he signed with the Mets with a minor league deal, right? Here's what he said. He said that how trust me, you know, he never thought in a million years like he would go to. He never thought he'd go to the Mets.
Okay.
And then he was saying like how, you know, he will always consider himself a Philly. It wasn't, he had to think a couple of days before he made the decision.
Wow.
Welcome to New York.
Yeah, man, the hot stove is heating up, man. The Yankees, they just signed Nick Johnson to a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's possible that Johnny Damon might not come back. And Johnny Damon's going to host Monday Night Raw, too, this Monday.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. I read in the paper today that he might maybe even wrestle in the ring.
Really?
He might. I'm guessing it would be against maybe, I don't know, Santino or whatever. They didn't say who, but I guess we'll have to wait and see tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to see that. Oh, but then again, I got to see the Giants win, so I'm going to switch back and forth.
Yeah, but one thing, another thing on WWE news, the best there is, the best there was, and the best that there will ever be, your favorite,
man,
Bret the Hitman Hart, comes back.
Yep.
For the WWE after
I'm looking forward to
hiatus.
That. Hitman's coming back. I'm looking forward to that. The greatest wrestler maybe ever. Maybe.
I'm excited too, and I never saw the guy wrestle in the ring, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when he was there. I mean, I've seen, you know, some matches of him, you know, later around. I mean, you know, on DVDs and, you know.
Right.
You know, but I'm looking forward to it. But most likely he's not going to, you know, wrestle. He is 52. He has, you know, he's had strokes and other, you know, problems. So it's just good to see him back in the
day. Or something.
Yeah, I think they say he might, you know, most likely be the GM.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. And it might be at the start of the new year, too, during the TNA's 3-hour show.
Right, with Hogan.
Yeah. Actually, the TNA might have a 2-hour show, right?
It's going to be
a 3-hour show.
January 4th.
Yeah.
The same day that The Rock was originally rumored to guest host.
Right.
But there's rumors that, you know, he has to promote the Tooth Fairy movie. Yeah, I know. Yeah, fair movie. So he might not be able to do the guest hosting duties until later on.
Yeah.
So it looks like that would be the day when Bret Hart returns to the WWE.
Right.
And the way how it seems, it looks like the Hart Foundation, which has his niece Natalya as his as the manager. And Davey Hart Smith, which is his nephew,
mm-hmm.
You know, the British Bulldog's son, who's the tag team partner with Tyson Kidd. you know, it looks like they're gonna be, you know, he's gonna form, you know, join up with them and, you know, fight against DX, maybe have a screw job situation, but that, you know, that is to be seen later on.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be.
That would be very interesting. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
Natalya looks good, by the way.
If you're a wrestling fan or a casual, you know, wrestling fan.
Yeah.
January 4th looks like it's going to be a big day in wrestling history.
Yeah. Start a new year. Can't wait for that. By the way, I was seeing that Natalya looks good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
No doubt about that.
If me and her got married, do you think the baby's name would have to be changed to Blackheart?
Maybe. Huh? Maybe that could be the ring name. But I think Tyson Kidd would have something to say about that.
Man, I could beat up Tyson Kidd. He's a punk. Come on,
he might put you in the heart attack.
Oh, please. That is like a skinny dude. Not even that tall. I mean, come on. I could take on Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, but you'd have to face Davey Hart Smith too.
Nah, I'll pay him some money.
Who are you, the $1 million man?
Hey, I might get the $1 million man to give me some money. Who knows? Bribe him, you know. I just want to tie it. That's all. I don't want no trouble.
Yeah, it should be a fun day.
Yeah.
And hopefully that Cena versus Rock rumors, you know, come true. WWE could, you know, solidify its spot, you know, as a top, you know, organization in, you know, pro wrestling.
Yeah. I will not lose ever again.
Yeah, oh, man, that was horrible. Hearing that, I mean, like I've said, you know, previous time, you know, I like the, like, you would agree with me, you know, I like Cena's original, you know, word life, rapper gimmick. But this one, he's trying too hard to make the fans like him. It's sickening. I mean, the stuff he was saying, he was literally apologizing for losing a match to Sheamus.
Don't leave that.
Like, I mean, hello, man. I mean, this is wrestling. People win, people lose. And it's scripted. And it's scripted. I mean, hello.
Yeah, that's
true.
You
were scripted to lose. It's not like, and these fans, I mean, who are mostly, you know, mothers and, you know, 12-year-old kids who Cena, who pretty much, you know, didn't, you know, watch wrestling, you know, in the Attitude Era or prior to it. So they don't really, really know how wrestling, you know, works.
Yeah, it's the older guys.
Yeah, so, and when I'm hearing him apologizing, I literally rolled my eyes. I was like, is this guy serious? I mean, my gosh, man. Man, this guy's so cheesy. He's like, I'm sorry, you know, I lost the match, you know. I promise it'll never happen again. And I won't say that I'm going to try harder because that's impossible. But,
yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, I will never lose a match again. I can't
see. Yeah, like you said, he starts off calm and then he starts yelling.
That's another problem with him, other than, you know, his five moves or less, which everybody criticizes him, which is pretty easy to pick apart him.
Yeah.
But my main problem with him, you know, other than his, you know, his gimmick, this never give up, never, you know, lose gimmick, which, you know, it all sounds good on paper, but he can never stay in character. One minute he's sad, you know, feeling down for himself, you know, like if he's Droopy, that cartoon dog, you know, or ER from, you know, Winnie the Pooh, he's like all depressed and all.
Yeah.
It looks like he's going to quit. And then less than 2 seconds later, he's screaming at the top of his lungs.
For no reason.
I know, man. It's like, I mean, geez, Cena, I mean, can you stay in character? And then 2 seconds later, after he screamed on the top of his lungs, like he's mad, then he's smiling again.
Yeah. And that orange, man, he wears too much orange. You gotta stop, man.
He should stick with the green.
Yeah.
He looked like the Seattle Supersonics, but I mean they're not even in existence anymore. So.
Yeah. Oh, the orange eye, it looks ugly. Man, come on. Wear black and white or something. Not orange.
And the gimmick that you see, his old gimmick, you see, I don't know if you remember Jesse, who used to be tag team with Festus.
Jesse?
You remember Jesse, the one that, he's with Festus. He used to be with Festus as a tag team.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Right, I think he's the other guy from the Three Birds.
Michael Hayes, not Michael Hayes.
His tag team partner.
Right, okay.
So that's pretty much the reason why he's still in the WWE.
Wow.
But in any case, his character is pretty much kind of like John Cena's character.
Yeah. So
but
John Cena's
working.
Copying. Wouldn't you say John Cena's copying him?
No, he's copying John Cena because he's now doing that, you know, like, his name is now Slam Master J.
Hmm.
He looks kind of
He
looks like Grandmaster Sexy now, you know, he has the do-rag on his head.
Yeah, I saw him the other day. They were on, actually, weren't they on the show last night, Salute the Troops?
Right, yeah.
No, it was on SmackDown. It was on SmackDown, I think.
It was SmackDown.
Yeah, it was SmackDown. Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't made, you know, him, you know, they haven't made him fight against, you know, Festus, which now he's going by his real name, Luke Gallows.
Yeah.
Because Festus was blamed, or Luke Gallows, as he's called now, he's blaming his friends and family for letting him be in that, like, vegetable-like state. You know, if you remember the storyline, he used to be, like you know, in a vegetable state. He was, like, motionless in the ring. He just stares well, motionless, not doing anything.
Yeah.
Probably drooling, too. And then when the bell rings, he's, like, a monster attacking anybody, in sight.
Right.
And when the bell rings, then he's, you know, he's back to his, you know, motionless state.
Right.
So I'm surprised they haven't did that in the storyline that he attacks, you know, Jesse, his former tag team partner.
But maybe they will.
You know, prescription drugs or whatever. But we shall see.
Maybe they will do that.
Yeah, maybe they'll do that.
Yeah. Who knows?
That's the least of WWE worries.
You said, man, they need to aim towards the older audience.
Yeah, because WWE, I mean, kids can't take themselves to the WWE arena. The parents are the one that paid the money.
Exactly.
So they need to go back to the fans. Who know what the heck they're watching.
Yeah,
but
I
we'll
agree.
Talk about what you think.
Well, I agree with you.
Well, you have any last thoughts?
No.
Well, that's all the time we have, ladies and gentlemen. Happy holidays. Happy Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. The whole shebang bang, you know. Happy holidays, everybody. See you next week, same time, same place. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Peace.